All right, let's get going here. We continue this week with the series titled Things I Have Been Taught from the Bible That Are Not True, based off of Mike Stewart's book, The Story of His Conversion. And again, I want to tell everyone in the YouTube audience, you can have a free copy of either of these books, the green book, Things I've Been Taught from the Bible That Are Not True, or the yellow book, Jesus Wasn't Talking to You. We are mailing those all over the world again. I haven't had any come back due to COVID-19 restrictions in quite a while, so I don't know how coronavirus is transmitted on international mail, but apparently somebody thought so. But yeah, anywhere in the world, we just need your physical mailing address. It's a physical copy. We have to have a physical address. So, it's been a while since we did the last lesson, but last time I left you off with Mike being completely flummoxed by a simple question. And the pastor asked Mike, who is your apostle? And Mike was not even on the same wavelength with the guy. Didn't know how to answer. There's 12 of them. How do you pick? And what the grace pastor was doing was he was pointing Mike to, you need to go pay attention to Paul. You've been paying attention to Peter and the 11 your whole life. You need to go see what Paul has to say. And, of course, Mike, like most of us at that point in his life, he couldn't answer the question. He was just, duh. I think you had that one line where you said, well, not Jewish. So he's pointing you to the apostle of the Gentiles. And at this point in Mike's life, he had no idea that the risen Lord Jesus Christ had saved and called and commissioned a specific apostle with specific instructions for Mike's Christian life. He didn't know it. And that's what we're going to continue in this week. On page 13 in the booklet, Mike notes that neither my former denomination nor my Bible school presented Paul as being unique in this way. Amazing. And he went to a big denomination and a big Bible school that had lots of money and prestige and reputation. Didn't learn a thing about it. And I think my experience is probably similar to Mike's and probably similar to all of yours. Is being raised up in church, you get the idea that Paul was just Peter's missionary. You know, and when I say Peter, Peter is representative of the 12, representative of everything Christ taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, representative of everything that was going on at Pentecost in Acts 2 and 3, that I felt that way. Paul was just Peter's missionary. Same message to everyone, but that, you know, it's just Paul had a different audience. And our Bible teaches a lot very clearly against that, but we just all missed it. Everybody, I'm seeing some nodding and agreeing. It seems like you're all experiencing the same. Okay, good. So like I said, this is going to be a study message. We're going to work. We're going to see a lot of verses. For some of you, this will be old hat. Yeah, I know that. Got it. Some of you, it'll be new material. But it's good either way. Hearing it again, you get repetition. Hearing it for the first time, it's the first time. So Mike says in his booklet, an enjoyable Bible study to see the uniqueness of Paul is to make a comparison of Peter and Paul in their education, their commission, their message, and their audience. So Mike giving the reader some homework in his first book. Now here's what I know. Close to 0% of the people who have received the green booklet have done that. They're like, oh yeah, I'll do that one day. Well, we're going to do a little bit of that today for their benefit. And Mike asked the question, what were the results? So that's what we will do this week. Three simple topics. We're going to compare what Peter taught and what Paul taught. And let the Bible verses teach us whether it's all the same or whether it's vastly different. Because that was what I thought in my ignorance. It's all basically the same from Matthew 1 till Revelation. Yeah, we know we're not Old Testament Israel, but everything New Testament, that's all me. That's what I thought growing up. Why did I think that? Well, because I was taught it. And I didn't really study for myself. So let's dive right in. and look at the topic. On the topic of Israel and prophecy. Because that's a good question. How much of your Bible to the left, it's all about Israel, it's all about prophecy. Israel, Israel, prophecy, prophecy, Israel, Israel. And then, no, it's just Gentile American churches. Huh? How did that happen? So let's look into that. Israel and prophecy. If you want to look at Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. I got to say, I am loving this iPad Bible up here. It is so easy. When I was growing up, the pastor of our church was also a guitar player. And when I say guitar player, I'm talking he played his guitar. It was a 12-string. He beat that thing up. I mean, you'd see veins popping out of his head. You'd see strings busting. And he's... He was an intense dude. But what they had done is they had taken a lot of the psalms in the Bible and they turned them into songs that we would sing in church. So here we are as little kids. We're singing Israel's promises, Israel's prophecies, and Israel's future as they're for us. So it ingrained that even further into my mind that was for me. Keith and Tim, would you like to come up and sing Isaiah 60 for us? No? This was one of the songs. And this was one where he'd start breaking strings. But Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. What's that? Can I tell you, there is nothing more pleasurable for a 16-year-old boy than to have to go to a shopping mall at Christmas time and be forced to sing carols in the middle of a shopping mall with your Christian school kids. Smile! Smile! Scrubs, I don't want to be here. Good times. Had to be there though. But Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Talking about Israel. "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." That's prophecy. And our school, they taught us, I mean, they're very intense Christian education. They taught us about Israel. They taught us about prophecies. They taught us about, you know, future prophecies. And we see in our daily Bible studies and our church services as we go through the Bible that for thousands of years, they're the only game in town. It's Israel or nothing. And that we would see these specific prophecies to and about Israel, and then they'd show the ones that had been fulfilled. They'd show us where these prophecies had been fulfilled, specifically to Israel. And I come to my Bible, and I'm, you know, just a dumb kid sitting in the pew, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, what about Israel? What about all these prophecies? Because they would read these New Testament passages to us and say, well, this is about us. You know, it would say Israel. He's talking about the church. What about, I mean, God seems to be very specific all throughout his. How can you just say, well, now it's just the church? So I knew at that point I was too dumb to figure it out, and I needed 4 PhDs to understand, so just trust the people that were above me, you know? But looking here, if you want to go over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We'll see, this is actually Peter being taught, and I know, I think I explained this already, but when I say Peter taught, we're using Peter as a representative of the 12 apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. Christ taught them the doctrine. He said when he ascended to heaven in Matthew 28, go teach people all the things I've already taught you. So that's this body of doctrine when we say Peter taught. But Peter's in Acts 2. And Peter's full of the Holy Ghost here, so what's the likelihood he's making mistakes? Right. But Peter says, they're trying to figure out how these people are all speaking in these known languages. By the way, it was not jibber-jabber. Sorry for the Pentecostals out there. known languages. He says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. That's not hard to understand, is it? This is prophecies to Israel being fulfilled right in front of your face. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So again here we see specific prophecies to and about Israel being fulfilled as they were prophesied. So what does that mean? That means Peter taught Israel still has standing before God. The prophetic timeline is still ticking. Daniel's 70 weeks. Interesting. That's pretty clear, isn't it? No arguments? Okay, look at, drop down to 236. Therefore, let all the Baptists, Methodists, Pentecostals, and Charismatics know assuredly. No, that's not what it says. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, what did they hear? They heard, Israel, you killed your prophesied Messiah. They heard a murder indictment. They didn't hear, trust the cross for your sins. They heard the bad news. The cross was the bad news in Acts 2 and Acts 3. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, do the same thing we've been telling everybody to do this whole time. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. So clearly, in Peter's message, Israel has standing. Peter's full of the Holy Ghost, preaching to Israel. This is about you. This is your prophecies. You people that were unbelieving before now realized you were wrong. You can repent, change your mind, and get with the kingdom program. So Peter clearly is teaching Israel. That's plain and obvious from the verses. Everybody agree?
Yes.
Okay. Let's ask Paul what he thinks about it. Romans chapter 3. Verse 10, Paul is wrapping up his history lesson and bringing us up to present day with an indictment of all. The whole world is guilty. and it bears well, it does well to mention here, these two men were both commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ. They were both taught their doctrine by the Lord Jesus Christ. None of them invented anything on their own. They both taught it from the same risen Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, what for? That every mouth may be stopped and the world may become guilty before God. So God is not in the dispensation of God's grace, according to the message he gave to Paul. He's not looking at one nation as the special nation. This is my kingdom of priests. These are who I have my covenants with. God has instituted the gunnery sergeant plan. I know that there is a R-rated movie called Full Metal Jacket years and years ago, but I remember one line in it where he was talking to the group about there's no discrimination in the Marine Corps. And the reason for that is he said, you are all equally worthless. So, but essentially that is the way God is operating towards humanity right now. You're all guilty. All of you have no chance, no hope. Here is my offer of reconciliation, grace, mercy, and peace. That's what God is giving through his apostle Paul. So there's no favored nation. The whole world is guilty, and everyone has opportunity to be saved. Now, what about this? I wrote prophecies postponed. Peter preaches, Israel's still standing, prophecies are being fulfilled. Paul says it's stopped. Where do we get that? Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 and verse 7. And that's the thing to remember is Peter in Acts 2 tells everybody when he says this is that which Joel was talking about. Another way to say that is Israel, we've entered the time of Jacob's trouble. The clock is ticking. Well, there's only 7 years of that, isn't it? And then the kingdom? Well, it's 2021 right now. I haven't seen a kingdom over in Israel. Have you? One guy said that, yeah, it's holy in Israel. It's full of bullet holes in the walls of all these buildings from all the conflict. But there's not a kingdom over there. So we can see just from reality, hey, prophecies have been postponed, but Paul actually tells us here in Romans chapter 11, and that's what in your Bibles, Romans 9, 10, and 11, that's answering that question that dumb young me had, where you go, what about Israel? I mean, all that Bible to them, and now what? So, but he says, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Verse 11, does that mean they're done forever? I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. No, they're not done forever. But what's going on now? What's going on here? But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, to provoke them to jealousy. What did prophecy say about Gentiles and Israel? Remember, Gentiles shall come to thy light and the brightness of thy rising. Well, this is exactly opposite of prophecy. This is something that was not prophesied. This is Gentiles being saved through a fallen Israel. That wasn't talked about in prophecy. I know that's part of the mystery of Christ. The mystery that God revealed to his greatest enemy, Saul of Tarsus, when he saved him. But that's obviously not happening. Now, I know that we were all taught, that's all the same thing, it all matches, you know, you're being too picky. That's opposite. You're not getting that square peg in the round hole. And it's been in our Bible our whole lives, we just missed it. But these are important things to note. As Mike said, it was to be an enjoyable study in his booklet. So we'll see if that's true by the time I'm done talking. But Gentiles are definitely not being saved by coming to the brightness of Israel's rising, according to Paul. Paul says through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles. So the next question would be, well, what about Israel? Was God lying to Israel? Did he change? That's good. That was quick. He's got his theology straight already. But, I mean, we're answering honest questions. What about all these specific prophecies to and about Israel? There's a lot of denominations in our country that will teach that the church has taken all that over. Although the church is a replacement for Israel. Well, then God's not very specific, because he kept saying the house of Israel, the house of Judah, seed of David, and for him to just say, I'll just give it to the church. That doesn't seem to follow the God of the Bible that we see through the Old Testament. Well, Paul has an answer for you in the same chapter. Look at verse 25. Paul is about to address the largest denomination in America. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. The greatest denomination in America, the ignorant brethren. I used to be a member. Due to faithful men teaching me, I left the denomination of the ignorant brethren. Now I'm in the slightly less ignorant brethren denomination. But I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. What's the mystery? That ye, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until there's an end point. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. So the prophecies have been postponed, but not put away forever. The prophetic timeline will restart at a point in the future, and God will fulfill all those specific prophecies to and about Israel. How do I know that? He says, I've got a covenant, I've got a contract. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. You know what that means in the original English? If I'm talking about them, I'm not talking about you, am I? This is my covenant to them when I take away their sins. He's talking about Israel, not us. So you see Paul clearly talking about the interruption of this prophetic timeline and the eventual resumption of the prophetic timeline when God starts to fulfill his covenant to them. Okay. Here's another good question. How are people being saved then without Israel, without Israel's covenants, without Israel's prophecies, and without Israel having standing before God?
Grace.
You just stole my thunder. It's rhetorical. You'll be here long enough to where you understand I'm asking rhetorical. But that's a good question. Because for how big of a section in our Bible, salvation is of the Jews. I'll bless them that bless Israel. You want to be saved, you want to get salvation, come through Israel. And now, Paul says, Israel's fallen, the prophecies are postponed, well, what replaced it then? Still in Romans, look at Romans chapter 16. And verse 25. These are good questions. But a lot of people don't think the process through to even ask the question, which could eventually lead them to learning how to rightly divide their Bible. You ask questions like this, it forces you to get answers, and your Bible is going to push you into right division, as long as you respect the Bible. Romans 16:25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to prophecies to and about Israel. Has nothing to do with anything prophetic. This is a revealed mystery which was kept secret since the world began. This is new information, a new gospel that the risen Lord Jesus Christ gave to Paul for us in this the dispensation of God's grace.
Whoa.
Completely separate and apart from Israel's program, this gospel can operate with a fallen Israel and no prophecies being fulfilled.
Whoa.
When you compare it to the whole left side of your Bible. It's a heap big deal, as the great theologian Tanto once said and been told. It was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and it's not some new Jesus Christ on the scene here. It's the same Jesus Christ. It's made manifested by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. This is why we put these lessons on YouTube. They go to all nations, and they're going to hear this gospel simply. Paul's my gospel. Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the good news. I can't do any of that. Nobody here can do any of that. Nobody who watches this on YouTube can do any of that because you're not Jesus Christ. So our good news is his works, not our works. And we have a present possession of salvation now when Ephesians 1:13, we hear that gospel, we believe it, and we trust it. Made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Peter didn't preach that gospel. Paul did. You see why this is such a big deal? We're talking about the most basic fundamental thing, getting the gospel right. That's why I learned this material and ended up starting a church, which was the last thing I planned to do. So that's topic number one. Topic number two, let's call this topic Tony Danza. Who's the boss? Does anybody remember that sitcom? Who's in charge? Who are the authority? What did Peter teach about this? Well, Peter would be following the Lord Jesus Christ's instructions in John 4:22, where he says salvation is of the Jews. He's commanded to teach them everything Jesus taught. Salvation of the Jews. You want salvation from God? You've got to come through Israel. What did Jesus teach in Matthew 19? Matthew 19, which is one of the most popular chapters for preacher to say, well, Jesus really didn't mean to say what he said here. Matthew 19, 27. The guy comes and asks Jesus point blank, what do I have to do to get eternal life? And Jesus says nothing about his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus tells the young man, keep the commandments. And the young man said, hey, I'm doing that my whole life. What else? And Jesus says, sell all your stuff and come follow me. And the man said, I got a lot of stuff. And you walk a long way. That's another thing to remember when we're reading our Bible. When Jesus is looking at a man face to face and says, come follow me, he's not talking about, become a follower of Jesus. He's talking about, follow me. I'm walking to the next town. Let's go. But Peter hears this conversation and he says, hey, we did that. We've forsaken all and followed thee. What do we get? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, that's a future time point, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall at this future point inherit everlasting life. So these apostles and this doctrine, you have eternal life as something that they're going to get out in the future. They're not walking around like us today saying, I have a present possession of salvation. They know they get their salvation when the king comes down. And they go into their kingdom. But look, does that sound Jewish to you? Ye shall sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel? Salvation is of the Jews. Jewish kingdom. And Jewish authority. How does that jibe with what Paul says, where in Christ, in the new creature, there's no such thing as Jew or Greek? There's no difference. Circumcision profits you nothing. That's different, isn't it? But both guys got their information from the risen Lord Jesus Christ. They have to be rightly divided. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:9 to his audience, you receive the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's opposite for us. The beginning of our faith is the salvation of our souls. Starts with the gospel of the grace of God. Then you spend the rest of your life trying to learn how to act like what God has made you in Christ Jesus. He's made you a new creature, complete in Him, sealed till the day of redemption, a vessel fit for use. And you got to figure out, what does that look like? What do I need to change? I need to have my mind renewed. Revelation 21 is talking about the city in this kingdom. It's got 12 foundations, and in the foundations, it's got the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Who's in charge then? Who's the boss? The 12 apostles. 12 apostles judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So to sum up what Peter teaches, salvation's of the Jews. It's according to prophecy about a Jewish kingdom full of Jewish tribes. Salvation comes according to prophecy when Christ returns, and there's a Jewish city with 12 gates, each having the name of a Jewish apostle. Pretty clear. Any room for a 13th apostle missionary there? Seems like it's all buttoned up, right? Let's see what Paul had to say in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Whose idea was this?
Not his.
Not Paul's. This is God's word. God gave me the dispensation. He gave it to me and told me to give it to you. So if you got a problem with right division, if you got a problem with being Pauline in your doctrine, you need to take it up with God. He's the one that did it. Even the mystery, I haven't read about this anywhere in the Old Testament. I know. It's been a mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the 12 thrones and the 12 Jewish tribes and the 12 king and the king. No. Among you dirty, rotten, uncircumcised, uncovetous Gentiles. Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the only hope of glory I have. sinner like me, Christ in me. So you see Paul saying, I've got a special message from God that was hidden. God gave it to me and tells me to go to none other than Gentiles. That's opposite of that, isn't it? Okay. 2 Timothy 1:9. I've got to hurry here. I told you this was going to be work. So for those of you who are starting to look tired, we're almost to the end of the job. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. I bring up this verse to show you that the mystery that God dispensing this dispensation of grace was not plan B. It wasn't, well, Israel blew it, so God instituted plan B. No, this was planned out before the world began. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Drop down to verse 11. Whereunto that purpose, I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Whoa. Look at verse 13. Who's the boss? Over here, you better pay attention to the 12. You're not getting in the city if you don't. They got the 12 gates. Here, Paul says something very remarkable. Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words. What sound words, Paul? The ones you've heard of me. I'm the teacher. I'm the apostle. Follow what I say in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Wow. He's incredibly arrogant, unless that's true. Unless God did give him the dispensation and all the information and reveal the mystery to him and tell him, you tell everybody else and teach them and tell them to follow you. That's our options. Either Paul's the most arrogant narcissist apostle in the Bible, or it's true what he said. I'm going to go towards giving my Bible truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. Paul calls himself the wise master builder in 1 Corinthians 3. I have laid the foundation, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3. Paul was really late to the party if you're starting the clock at Matthew 1, aren't you? He's not even saved to the middle part of the book of Acts. So if it's all the same and he's just Peter's missionary, he's got a lot of nerve saying, I've laid the foundation. Dude, you're like the 13th guy. 14th if you count, you know, Judas. And really? No. The only way that verse can be true is if God did institute something new specifically with Paul. That's the only way he can make that statement, I am the master builder, I laid the foundation. Acts 28:28 says, this is Paul's, it almost sounds like a lawyer's talking. He says to the Jews in Acts 28:28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when they had heard these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. That's opposite of salvation of the Jews. Paul says very clearly the salvation of God is being sent to the Gentiles. They'll listen. Again, square peg, round hole. There's no contradictions in the Bible, though. There's a lot of contradictions in the Bible, but there are no mistakes. Contradictions keep you alive. They'll keep you alive on your way home today. You're going to pull up to a red light. It's going to tell you to stop and tell the other ones to go. And then it'll flip. It's a complete contradiction, but it's right both times. Isn't it? All right. Finally here, and we'll wrap this up. Topic number 3. Anybody want to talk about justification? You all need it. What about the law? What about that heap big chunk in your Bible where it's all about the law? It's all about going to church and temple on Saturday and bringing sacrifices. Oh, and then even in what's commonly called the New Testament, Christ telling people to keep the law, follow the commandments. Oh, and then in the Hebrew epistles in your Bible, it's all about keeping the commandments as well. What about that? I read to you Matthew 19, where Jesus tells the young man, what do I do to get eternal life? Jesus says, keep the law. So according to Peter's doctrine, we'd have salvation and law in operation. What about, here's another verse where large denominations say it doesn't mean what it says. Let's turn to this one. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. This is right after the verse that the preacher uses to beat you all up for not coming to church regularly. Have you ever seen that verse? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Summertime, right? Everybody's taking vacations. The income's gone down. I need to beat these people up and get them back in the building. So I'm going to take them to verse 25 and preach a message. Well, look at the very next verse. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. What? But what can I look forward to? Look at verse 27. You can look forward to being afraid of what's coming your way, a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Oh. So, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'd like you to all raise a hand and tell me, which of you has sinned willfully this week? Don't look at me. I haven't. But seriously, this is Israel's doctrine when they're filled with the Holy Ghost of God and they're going through that time of Jacob's trouble and the Spirit is in them causing them to walk in their statute, in the statutes and the laws. To where their natural state becomes, I'm going to keep the law. If you're going to break the law, you have to do it willfully and plan it out like Ananias and Sapphira did. That's not our doctrine. But that's the doctrine that Peter would teach. What about, oh, this is all verses that denominations say don't mean what they say. James 2:24. You see that how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And then turn over to Romans 5:1 and see that how you're justified by faith and not by works. And then you go, exactly. So, Peter, there's salvation, the law is in place, there's works involved. Oh, and the salvation is in the future. Peter says in Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So repent and be converted that you may get your salvation out in the future when Jesus comes back to earth. That's not what Paul taught, was it? But that's clearly doctrine for someone in your Bible. Peter says, commandment keeping in 1 John 2:4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So clearly for Israel, how do you spot somebody who knows Jesus? They're keeping all the commandments. They're loving their neighbor as themselves. They're loving the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's how you know in that dispensation whether they're the real deal. You see somebody breaking commandments that says, oh yeah, I know Jesus. Liar! That's what, if you read the Johns, that's these litmus tests. You see somebody saying this and doing that? Liar. Somebody saying this and doing this? Truth. But that's a very different than what Paul taught about justification and the law. And we'll finish up with this, I promise. Romans 4, please. Romans 4 and verse 4. I gotta plan these out better to where I only write on the top third, 2/3 of the board. Salvation, Paul teaches salvation apart from the law. Justification is by faith and grace in Christ's works, not ours. Romans 4:4. Now to him that worketh, what do I get for my works? If I choose to trust my works instead of Christ's works, what do I get? You get a reward not reckoned of grace. Uh-oh. Yeah. Anybody want to show up before God short? In debt?
No.
I need my account paid in full. I know I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. The reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But look at verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Look over, please, at Ephesians 2. We'll knock these last couple of verses out, and we'll be done. Should I start looking at my watch, too? That also means nothing. I got two. I will show you. I've got two passages left. All right. Look at verse 6 there in Ephesians 2. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, dirty, rotten Gentiles without a covenant. And it's a done deal. It's done now. You see all those are past tense? You have salvation now. You've got a seat in heavenly places already. Now, you're not waiting for anything. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Whoa! For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that, not of you, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's pretty clear, has nothing to do with our works. Over and over and over and over and over again. So Peter and Paul taught some very different things on the same subjects. We've only looked at three today. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which he hath done, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Verse 7, he says, you're justified by his grace, Titus 3:7, that we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So back to where we started with Mike's question, or Mike's statement, really. An enjoyable Bible study to see the uniqueness of Paul is to make comparison of Peter and Paul on these things. And then he asked the question, what were the results? Well, we looked at three topics, and we see vastly different results in our Bible. I can't go back. Once the mystery was revealed to me, once somebody taught me like this to actually lay these Bible verses down and compare them and contrast them, genie's out of the bottle. I'm never going back to a denomination ever. Because when you see differences this huge, you have to rightly divide it. It can't be the same thing. It's different messages to different audience. They're opposite in many cases. You cannot follow the whole Bible. You can't. But we all went to Bible studies and youth groups and churches and thought it was all the same from Matthew to Revelation, and it's all about us. We thought that for a couple of reasons. The people in charge were telling us that. We didn't do the legwork on our own to actually study our Bibles out and compare them and contrast them ourselves. I was never taught that. Look for verses that disagree with each other and see who's talking and see if you could. Never was I taught that till I was 20-something years old. I was taught to round off the edges. Oh, it's all the same. Israel still standing. Israel fallen. It's all the same.
Don't forget the tithes.
And the ushers will be coming by to take your tithes right after we get you whipped up emotionally. Come, song leader. It's the best time to ask for money. Everybody's feeling good. All right, let me wrap this up. But these are just three topics, three different items, and I think we found some big distinctions, didn't we?
Yes.
That's why we are commanded to rightly divide the word of truth. I enjoyed this study. I don't know if any of you did, but I can say, Mike, now having done it, it was an enjoyable study. So thank you for that. That is all I have to say for this week. I will close in prayer, and then if anybody has any comments or questions, we can do that.